Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeth. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeth, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
We're back with hour number two, Leading Edge Medicine. Hi there, my name is Lynette, joined by Dr. Samira Umeth. Dr. Jerry Mixon is in Iceland. He's either in a hot pool right now.
He's not.
Hiking. No, he wouldn't be. Yeah. No, I was thinking one of those steam pools.
Well, I think he did say he's taking swimming trunks with him, and
yes,
he does want to go there because it's going to be cold, right?
Yes, so he'll want to, after he hikes the glacier, hopefully he won't be skiing down one this time.
I was just going to say that.
You better not do that.
Not skiing down the glacier. Sure.
But you never know.
Helicopter ride to the top of the glacier.
Drop him down.
Oh, ski down. I wouldn't be shocked.
Dr. Mixon, be careful. Come back
in one
piece.
He's an adrenaline junkie.
He sure is. And we know this because one of his doctors is here today. Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho. Welcome. Look how tan and fit.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
look at you, Dan. You look great.
I don't.
Where have you been?
Golf course.
I've been on the golf course a little bit and working in the yard, but I wish I was at someplace more exotic.
I know,
to tell you
me
about,
too, right?
But it's, you know, it's hard to leave the Northwest this time
of
year.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah, we never do. And I think our kids always complain that we never went anywhere in the summer and all their friends did. But we said, well, this is
so beautiful.
This is the time of year.
Why would you leave?
Yes.
And besides, we go to work, guys.
Right. Yeah. Somebody has to pay the bills.
That's right. That's right. Right. Well, Dr. Nelson, thank you so much for coming in today.
Well, it's just a pleasure looking at these two beautiful smiling faces and makes it all worth it. Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah.
Very good. And Dr. Nelson, of course, he is the guy to answer those questions concerning back pain. You like talking stem cells, vertiflex, and all sorts of wonderful things like that. We've already got a couple callers on the line that would like to talk to you about this specifically. So let's go to Margaret in Seattle. Margaret, hi there. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question. I had, with my knee arthritis, I've had lots of steroid injections until they didn't work anymore. And then, Dr. Nelson, I came to you and I had you Flexa for 3 injections, and that didn't work at all. And then I had stem cell with another doctor, and that gave me about, maybe 50% improvement, but I still can't hike like I want to. I can only go out about an hour, occasionally 2 hours, but then there's lots of pain. So this other doctor had thought that even though the Euflexa didn't work, maybe Hymophis could it be a benefit because somehow it's molecularly a little bit different? And I wanted your opinion on that because that it seems like that's my last resort before I go the knee replacement route.
Okay.
Hey, Margaret, how old are you?
67.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I have to admit, I don't know what Hymophis is.
It's another hyaluronic acid, but
it's another HA derivative. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the answer, to be honest. And that's why, and I don't want to ask you where you went, but, it's all about context and how to, if you're going to do stem cell, you got to make sure other things, let's take the whole body into play and make sure it's appropriate.
Wait, for those listeners, what was the first series that she was talking about, the series of three? Yeah.
So Euflexa is an HA hyaluronic acid derivative.
Okay.
It's given, and we do We do a fair amount of that. So that's kind of like the next step after a cortisone injection.
Yes, it is the next step. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. And, and if it does work, it, you know, if you get 3 or 4 months, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
It has to be repeated generally. So it's kind of a holding action, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. It has a place in the armamentarium of, you know, musculoskeletal injection type medicine. But, you know, the stem cell thing is, you know, I would want to know what else is going on because...
Well, isn't it true that not all stem cells are equal?
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's like, I think it's analogous to these, you know, low-T clinics compared to longevity medical clinic. You know, they're like, it's not a magic bullet. You have to do it in context. So you spent the last good part of the last hour, Samir, talking about... hormones, you know, you just don't throw testosterone at people, mm-hmm. and males in particular, and it has to be given in the full
the
context.
Balance, yeah.
And the stem cell thing is the same way. And you have to. I saw a gentleman yesterday. He wanted stem cell in his knee, and I became apparent after the exam and looking at him, and then getting X-rays and MRI. He really has his spine is.
Oh,
a main
back.
Contributor
okay.
to his knee pain,
oh,
in my opinion.
Okay.
So it's like if you have the tunnel vision and focus on one thing, like stem cell, that's going to fix your knee pain.
Yeah.
That's you're really doing the patient a disservice. And I'm not saying that happened in this case, Margaret, but I'm just
because you had even said that would be the next step would be stem cell.
Right. So. So, yeah, and then
I guess so. Then her question, Dan, is that she did the stem cell, it gave her 50% relief, but not 100%. So now, should she do another HA or should she do something else?
I think the HA is, I'm not sure I'd go for that. I'd want to know where you're still having the pain. And is there some other things we can do? Now, there's something called genicular nerve blocks that we can do diagnostically to see, okay, certain areas in your pain, in your painful knee that are more problematic.
Uh-huh.
And this is where the whole toolbox comes into play. You know, it's like,
okay,
what if stem cell gives you 50% pain relief and it's not going to do any more?
Okay.
Assuming that was all done properly with,
let's assume that, yeah.
Then what else can we do? And what else is in the toolbox? Some of which is maybe covered by insurance, you know?
Sure.
And, you know, stem cell generally not, but there's other things that sometimes very simple things that we can do. You know, sometimes people get misdiagnosed or maybe somebody misses it. They have a popliteal cyst or Baker cyst that nobody diagnosed.
So, or a foot and ankle problem.
Sometimes, as you know, Samira, hip pain can manifest as
knee pain. Absolutely.
So there's all these things that, and now of course, Margaret, I don't have you here right in the room with us.
Yes, to examine and to know your history.
You.
Yeah.
But it's really like kind of okay. Let's go back and see where it is. You know, we do the exam. Where is that pain coming from? And is it just kind of global knee pain, Margaret, that you're having then?
Yes, but then sometimes when I'm walking, it's just on the right side. Other times when I'm walking, it's on the left side. And I have a brace that I can use, an uploaded brace, but that doesn't seem to do much. But it sounds like I have some other options before I have to have a knee replacement that I can try, that I should make an appointment and see about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's not unreasonable to do an HA, Dan, but she's already tried it. I'd probably do something else.
Right.
Hey, what about simple things like physical therapy?
Physical therapy.
Oh, you do?
Too.
Okay.
You do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
No, absolutely. We would encourage, you know, the hands-on approach before we, you know, going back to doing injections and stuff. But, and the HA, you know, whether it's Euflexo or the other one, that's not a bad idea, you know, if you want to hike a lot in the summer and you're looking for something to work kind of away, that might be a reasonable thing to do.
Yeah.
So, but then, you know, taking the long-term approach, we got to figure out, okay, what's really going on here? And there is something now called, that we're offering called alpha-2 macroglobulin injections, kind of in between PRP and stem cell.
Okay.
And so that's kind of, that might be also something to look into.
Wow.
And
there's between PRP and stem cells.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, macroglobulin. Huh.
Alpha 2 macroglobulin. So we're just trying to get more stuff on the menu to help people. You know, that's
but the PRP is also a great thought for her, Dan. If
absolutely.
She's already had stem cells, maybe that's the next step.
A PRP booster.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If there's a little bit of inflammation left. Yeah. Oh, you've had that already.
Yeah, I had the PRP with the stem cell and then about I don't know if it was 8 or 12 weeks later.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely some other things to do, and that's why we tell people, look, in that first, you know, especially in that first year, we need patients to follow up with us, and we tell them, look, we want to see you at or be in contact with you at least every 3 months, particularly during that first year, but I'm going after that. So,
you know, with the knee, the foot and ankle really keeps coming back to me. And I may be because this week I had a patient in my office. She's had leg pain for a long period of time, even went to a neurologist and had MRIs because of the neuropathic nature of the pain. And then finally her doctor said, this originated after you twisted your ankle, which was like a benign thing. And so they're sending her now to a foot and ankle specialist to make sure that that's not the origination of her neuropathic leg pain, which has been bothering her for a long time now.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, I don't know, but I'm not seeing you. I don't know your history, Margaret. But if you haven't looked at feet and foot health, arch support, you know, it might be something you might want to explore.
Yeah, well, I was thinking my knee, because I do have a bit of a valgus deformity from the arthritis, and so the medial side of my foot will hurt. And so I did see the podiatrist, and he was telling me, well, we can tweak your arch supports a bit, but your alignment is really messed up, and I think until you take care of your knee, you're probably going to continue to have problems with your foot. And even if you're not having a replacement, just when you're in pain and you're walking, you may not think you're altering your gait, but you most likely are. And when you watch me walk, I'll definitely make an appointment, because this is a little bit of a brighter news that maybe there's a few things I can do before I have to resort to the knee replacement.
Absolutely. No, because we want to keep you moving. We want to keep you hiking and doing the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
I would absolutely. Okay.
Plenty of years of hiking ahead of you. We want to make sure you're in good shape for that.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Good luck, Margaret.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you. Hey, Dan, is acoustic therapy used for pain, like tendon and pain?
Yeah.
Percussion?
We do. So we have something called the MIAC machine, which is acoustic therapy, piezoelectric wave, kind of shockwave therapy that's focused. And actually, we do that in conjunction with stem cells. So if a patient undergoes stem cell therapy, they go undergo stem cell with PRP, and then 6 weeks later, they get a PRP booster. They also get 3 sessions of the MIAC therapy. So the MIAC machine, I've had it for at least 15 years. We bought it from Germany.
Okay.
Very expensive machine. A lot of the pro sports teams have them. Like, I'm sure the Seahawks have it in their training room.
Sure.
And I think it's a great app. We use it not only for stem cell patients, but for other musculoskeletal conditions. But, no, I think it's very useful. You know, it's interesting that I think Longevity Medical Clinics is doing this for erectile dysfunction.
Device can also be used for musculoskeletal pain. We have not used it for that purpose because we don't do a hands-on, right?
Right.
So I haven't gone that road with this device, but it seems to be the buzzword these days. Everybody's talking about acoustic therapy for everything under the sun. Not just ED and musculoskeletal issues, but now they're talking about hair restoration.
I'll have to tell my son about that, because he might be interested in that.
And of course, a lot of the technology is coming from Europe.
Right.
But you know, sometimes it originates over here. Like I was telling Lynette earlier, and I want to talk to you about this virtual patient I heard about.
Oh, okay.
It was great. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
All right. We're going to take a quick break right here, and then we'll be back with Dr. Samira Umat along with Dr. Dan Nelson today, our special guest from Pro Ortho. He's the pain guy. If you've got pain in your knee, in your back, in your head, or if you move this way, why does it hurt, doctor? He's not going to say, well, don't do that. Well, he might. Yeah, he does that to me when I tell him that. Why? It hurts when I do this. We would love to take your questions. We're going to talk about Vertiflex next. Here's our number to get through today. Phone lines are open right now. It's 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Back with more Leading Edge Medicine in a moment.
After I started on Dr. Mixon's program, your energy level just booms, and the mood leveling out was so important. Your quality of life just is transformed. I am so grateful to Longevity and Dr. Mixon's program.
All right, and
good
morning.
Berry.
Yes. We have Dr. Dan Nelson in the studio along with Dr. Samira Umat. This is Leading Edge Medicine, talking about your pain, your issues. This is the time to call and talk with Dr. Dan Nelson, 800-465-8770, which is why Robert from Seattle jumped right on the line there. And Robert, we're going to take your call in just a moment, but I had a caller earlier that had mentioned, what's the deal with Vertiflex? What is going on? I know Dr. Mixon has done this twice. Now it seems like there could be some issues happening.
Well, yes.
Not with Vertiflex, but...
No, the technology and the therapy is outstanding. There's been... Something came out with... there's been some other areas of minimally invasive procedures that are being pushed primarily by the interventional pain world. And then recently a position paper came out from more the surgery side, meaning the neurosurgeons and the orthopedic spine surgery. They came out and said, hey, stop this.
So people aren't getting as many surgeries. Why?
Why? We can't, you know, they just basically trying to put the kibosh on this. And, you know, what I would love to say that it's, you know, people are rational and make these kind of decisions without... without self-interest, but this is clearly a self-interest case where they're kind of protecting their own little, you know, turf. It's a turf battle, basically. So,
It's politics.
Politics. Wow. And what I've said before on this show is if when you mix politics with medicine, what do you get? Politics. The Vertiflex question is kind of... in limbo right now with regard to ProAlliance. We've had a position paper that came out, a white paper, and our corporate attorney has decided, well, we're kind of left hanging in the wind until we get something else countering that white paper to basically from a medical liability standpoint. I will say my parting comment is sometimes...
Comment?
Yeah.
No, I'm not
concerning,
leaving.
No. Concerning Vertiflex.
Wow, that's a big statement.
The Vertiflex will not be going away, but it will maybe possibly on a hiatus from ProAlliance surgeons, but we have people that we can be referred to for that. My last editorial comment is sometimes MD stands for medical doctor or doctor medicine. And sometimes it stands for medical dinosaur. So just take...
And right now the medical dinosaurs are winning and there are more of them. And
It's, I mean, you can try to hold back progress and put your fences up, but it's still going to happen. So,
I mean, isn't it the same with stem cells, though, Dan? The technology has been around for so long. We've known how valuable it can be, and yet there are schools of thought that will say, "Oh my gosh, no!" And same with hormone replacement therapy as well, right?
Exactly the same.
The old establishment will...
And you still have people out there, medical doctors, who say that hormone replacement is dangerous or can cause heart problems.
Yeah.
And this was there was a paper that came out, a very bad paper that came out of VA, I don't know, in the 2000s that said these men
20
were at
years
higher,
ago.
higher risk of heart attacks. And it was...
It's been debunked. There has been a large study actually from the VA showing the benefits. I was shocked it came from the VA, but they said it showed the benefits. And then still, I have patients that will call me and go, my doctor said that testosterone causes high blood pressure. I'm going, how? Where? How?
Well,
explain it to me.
The stem cell thing's an interesting story because, you know, unfortunately, money and power... You know, with well over 700,000 knee replacements done in the U.S. every year, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Hospitals, doctors, device companies, drug companies, you know, that's a big gravy train. And if you try to upset that gravy train with anything, including stem cells, you're going to get pushback. I mean, this is, that's reality. And I have my good friends are orthopedic doctors that do knee replacements that, and they're good guys. I'm not I'm not.
And they're good at what they do.
They're good at what they do.
Yes.
And they, like, you know.
And there is a time and a place for everything.
Right.
Right.
Just recently treated my second doctor, orthopedic doctor, with stem cells of their knees, and I had asked him. I said, you know, the latest guy said, so we're doing stem cells on your knees, but you, in fact, have done many, many knee replacements in your life, right, in your career. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, but you're here.
You're here opting not to do
one. His answer was, yeah, I want to keep playing pickleball and I want to keep skiing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, did you offer that to your, did you tell your patients?
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's okay to question.
It's an interesting world that we live in.
It is.
Yes, it is.
You bring up pickleball. That is a great way to stay healthy and active, though.
Right.
You know, I would love to be able to have my patients continue to play pickleball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to go to those pickleball tournaments and leave some business cards.
There you go. Oh, boy. Yes.
That's a target-rich environment. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is. A lot of older people are playing pickleball.
Oh, it's great.
It's like
great
the new sport.
It's great because it's physically active, but not as demanding and hard on the body like tennis.
But, yeah, it is. You're right.
And then the social aspect is huge, right?
It is huge.
And then we all know that as you get older, being socially connected is a big piece of well-being.
Right? Yeah, very important.
I encourage my patients to absolutely
and then,
do it.
You know, it's funny that you brought it up because my husband was talking about it just recently.
Let's play pickleball.
Well, he did, and he does, but you said you put the nail on the head. He busted his knee blank.
Oh, no. La, 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 la.
So this is the former hockey player or collegiate hockey player.
Right.
And now, he's doing the pickleball thing and hurts his knee. Come on, hey!
I know a guy.
Sunil, we're not slamming into the boards here. Come on, you get hurt playing pickleball? You're a hockey player. Come on,
I
know.
Hockey player. Does he have all his teeth?
Yes, he
does. Okay, good job.
Yeah. He played in Canada.
Ah, okay. Right. All right. Well, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Robert from Seattle. Thank you, Robert, for hanging on the line. What would you like to talk about today?
Well, I'm going to have a procedure called a back ablation, apparently, to relieve pain on my right side of my lower back. I've been told that it's pretty darn safe. I'm just checking with the doctor here to make sure that it's very safe, number one. And number two, are there any complications possible? Does that ever happen? And number three, when I started this procedure, they gave me an initial test where they inserted the needles in my back and apparently applied lidocaine to the spot they thought the pain was coming from, and the pain disappeared within 5 or 10 minutes and kept gone for 40 minutes, which was great, which the doctor said shows that that was the area that was causing the pain. But my question about that is, they say they need a second test with a second numbing agent to be positive. Is that normal? Do you really need two tests before you do the ablation itself?
Unfortunately, Robert, it is. And the rules are made by Medicare, Blue Cross, but all the insurance companies follow the same. So you need two injections. You have to have 80% pain relief for at least 2 hours to have a positive test and to count. So we're trying to get, in order for them to pay for the radiofrequency ablation procedure, they need those two tests. And I apologize to my patients. When I explain the whole thing, they come in and they go, why do I need a second test? And I said, well, there's the rules, you know. They're not my rules. Mm-hmm. They're the insurance company rules. They require, this was set up, over 20 years ago, might be 25 years ago, where they came up with this protocol. So, yeah, you kind of have to jump through the hoops, what I call checking the boxes, before they all pay for the RFA procedure. RFA procedure is very safe. I mean, I do hundreds of them every year in the neck, low back, other places, also for knee pain. So I think I would encourage you. I wish it was a permanent procedure. What happens is that those little tiny nerves that they ablate or burn will tend to grow back over time, and the pain could come back. I tell my patients, we hope it lasts at least a year or two. So I've had a patient who recently came in and where it lasted for 8 years before his pain came back. I would encourage you. I think that's a very overall extremely safe procedure. I've never had any, personally, having done hundreds, thousands of these, I've never had a serious complication from, so it's in capable hands, a very safe procedure.
Well, one other question I have is, I got this pain as a result of being hit by a car in an automobile accident.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm assuming that an automobile accident can produce this type of nerve damage. Right. And it's not just, mm-hmm. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. Any kind of trauma. Is this for your low back there, Robert? Or
yeah.
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 No. Yeah.
I think
no, that's
the facet joint.
Facet joint, exactly. So the facet joints got, kind of damaged or traumatized during the accident, most likely. And as a result, you probably have some underlying chronic inflammation, otherwise known as arthritis. And the RFA procedure doesn't treat the underlying arthritis, but if we can get your pain under control and keep you moving, that's a huge plus, right? So I would definitely encourage you to pursue
that.
Well,
the numbing agent definitely took the pain away. The numbing agent definitely took the pain away. I'm glad to hear that it's a legal thing. I don't mind following legal things, just making sure that the second test wasn't just an opportunity for someone to make more money.
No,
that's fine with me.
If it was up to me, I would skip the second. I mean, to me, it's just drudgery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking for extra procedures to do. We're plenty busy. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that we have to subject these patients to a second procedure when we already pretty much know what's going on, I mean, it's just something we have to put up with because, the golden rule, right? Those who have the gold make the rules. So that's kind of what we're
saying. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, never heard that before.
No, I didn't hear that.
You never
before.
Heard that before.
Yeah. Oh, come on. I'm wearing a gold bracelet. I don't get to make any rules.
not quite enough gold.
Oh, enough. Nobody told me that. That's funny, Dan.
All
okay,
right.
Thank
call,
you,
though. Thanks
really
for that call.
It.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, and I'm hearing from our producer that we have a very interesting caller calling up.
Interesting?
From
Seriously?
Iceland.
Interesting.
Oh, my goodness.
Stay away, could he?
Who could that be?
Mixon.
Who could that be?
Well, one guess.
Hey. Hi, Dr. Mixon calling in from Iceland. And what time is it there? Your time, Dr. Mixon?
It is, 4:28 in the afternoon. Actually,
oh, okay.
Let's go to dinner.
Please tell us that you are not skiing down a glacier at the present moment.
Yes.
No,
we were concerned.
No, we're not. Although it is icy cold here. The wind is about, 30, 40 miles an hour.
Ooh.
And the temperature is about freezing.
Wow.
And there's a frigid rain blowing sideways.
Ouch. Ouch. We better not tell you that it's 93 degrees and warm here.
Yeah. We got a heat wave. Yeah.
There's a reason they call this place Iceland.
So, right.
Is it considered summer there for you, Dr. Mixon?
Yes. Actually, this is the warmest time of the year. This is their heat-soaked summer when people actually run around with only three layers in a parka.
Oh,
so, okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, boy. Have you taken advantage of any of those hot, steamy lagoons?
Actually, we just went by a volcanic boiling mud area where the sulfur dioxide is filling the air, reeks of rotten eggs.
Oh,
and,
Yellowstone.
The ground is just, venting steam all over the place.
Cool.
Yeah, it's hot and muggy, but small.
Cold.
There's a volcanic, this is an active volcanic island. So hot springs and fumaroles are fairly common here. In fact, I discovered that close to 99% of all the electricity on the island is generated by geothermal.
That's right. It is. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Dr. Mixon, what has been your highlight of your trip so far? You've been there about 4 or 5 days?
Yep. We flew in on Monday, got here early Tuesday morning, and this is now Saturday afternoon. So, we've had a great time. There are ice flows at the base of some of the glaciers, and glaciers cover about 10% of the country. At the base of some of these glaciers, there are these glacial lakes that the glaciers are peeling icebergs off into. And it's just beautiful, giant blue pieces of ice. They're this incredible, incredible blue color. And we, you know, we go to a beach where the big giant pieces of ice are all over the beach.
Wow.
And then we took a little Zodiac raft and went out on the glacial lake and went around circular around all the little icebergs and ice floes. And Ivory scooped up a big hunk of ice out of the water and was chewing on it. So, yeah, it takes 1,000 years for the snow to get from the top of the glacier down to peel off at the bottom. So
whoa.
That was a 1,000-year-old hunk of ice that she was chewing
wow.
on.
Wow.
So,
boy.
Yeah, it's been interesting. It's been interesting.
All right.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah, there are sheep everywhere, more sheep than people by a significant margin.
No way.
And,
have you seen the wild ponies?
The beautiful Icelandic horses. They're small, very shaggy, very small horses.
Yeah.
Kind of like Shetland ponies,
a lot of those
which
around.
Are small. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's an interesting place. We're having a good time.
Wonderful.
You know, not doing anything too death-defying or exciting.
Okay.
Just doing some hiking and waterfalls everywhere.
Oh,
nice.
I've seen more waterfalls here than I've seen in the rest of my life put together.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Cool. Yeah.
Please send us a picture of you and your family in front of a wild horse or a waterfall or something. Okay, Dr. Mixon?
All right.
And stay
we're
safe.
We're collecting a fair number of pictures. We'll be sending them off to all of you guys.
All right. Sounds good. We look forward to seeing them.
We'll be here another, we'll be here another 10 or 12 days. So 16
Very
days
good.
All together.
All right.
You guys have a great time. I just wanted to check in and say hi.
I'm so glad you did.
Yes,
and please,
thank you for checking in.
Give us another update next Saturday as well. And maybe Dr. Nelson can take you off his speed dial for,
Exactly.
Sounds good.
All
Dan,
right.
Thank
you
for coming on and filling in. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Mixon.
Thank you.
All right. We hear the music. The Hawaii 5-0. Tropical. Kind of like it is here. We'll take a quick break and we're back with more of your questions on Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment.
My husband and I are, as you said, just right on schedule for falling apart in a very timely manner. So I do thank you for all your advice on the radio.
Hey, Paula, I want to marry you.
Leading Edge Medicine. And we have had so much fun today. Dr. Samira Umat in, Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho. We had Dr. Jerry Mixon calling from a glacier, atop a glacier. That's kind of how I envision it. Although he's in Iceland right now.
That's right.
He gave us a call. So, do you think he was checking in on us? Make sure we weren't having too much fun.
No, I think he loves the radio show.
He actually misses it.
He misses it when he's not here. He looks forward to it. Well, he always plans his trip so that he's here on Saturday.
Yes. I love that.
Well, he's so good at it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like,
absolutely.
Why wouldn't you love it?
There you go. And we can now say that the program is broadcast and heard in Iceland.
Yeah, there you go.
So we'll add that to one of our many countries. Now, we have another caller on the line that you may be familiar with, Dr. Nelson. Your daughter is on the line.
Is that Christina?
Yes.
Calling in.
It is indeed.
Wonderful.
How
Hi,
are
Christina.
You? We appreciate taking
well.
The time.
How are you guys?
Well, we're doing fine. We're having
too
much fun as usual. But I kind of mentioned the fact that I kind of nudge her and see if she'd call in because I want to do a shameless plug for my own show on a sister station
Absolutely.
On Sunday. And Christina is starting her second year of medical school.
Oh.
In what, about less than a week? Or is that?
In,
when do you, you
yeah,
go back
in, about,
on,
in about a week.
So she's been kind of doing a little.
Go
ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I go back next week, and then I start soon after.
I know.
Okay.
We've enjoyed having you around, which has been great.
Well, med school is fun, but it's really busy.
It gets real. Now you'll be full-time, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're doing the basic sciences right now, right?
Yeah, they do a lot of clinical stuff out there at Temple, too, though. It's a pretty great school. But anyway, Christina is getting her little experience on radio because she's been helping Jerry Berg co-host with me for the last, I don't know, what, four or five shows maybe? And it's been a lot of fun. She's been able to contribute and talk about kind of a fresh
look at medicine.
Fresh look from, you know, somebody who's just starting out as to me. So it's been a lot of fun. But for those of you who might be interested, 8 o'clock Sunday morning. I know it's early, but on a sister station. And it's on an FM dial, not an AM. But we're having a lot of fun, and I really appreciate Christina calling. Any thoughts, any burning issues on your mind this beautiful Saturday morning?
I do have just a thought that's not quite medically related. I'm not sure if it's been brought up already, but Dr. Nelson's birthday is tomorrow.
Had to bring that up. You had to bring that up. Yeah. Oh, man.
He's reversing the aging clock.
That's right.
Yes, he is.
And I am a longevity medical clinic patient, so, and Dr. Samir is my doctor, so I will say that I feel quite good for my stated age.
Awesome. Very good.
That's right. And your cellular age is definitely younger than your chronological age,
right,
Dr. Nelson.
There we go.
And,
yes.
What does my wife say? Don't confuse maturity with
age or something.
No, something like, you know, don't confuse age with maturity. I mean, like, she's basically implying that I might not be quite in the maturity level yet, even though chronologically I might be there. Like, the maturity level sometimes regrets back to junior high school. So.
Oh, look at that. Another call on the line.
Well, no. Don't blame the hormones on that, okay?
No.
That's right.
That's a personal issue.
That's right. That's
well,
right.
Happy birthday, Dr.
Yes,
Nelson.
Wishing you a wonderful birthday. So what are the plans?
Not much. I think, you know, we have a tradition of going out to Ray's Boathouse there on Shilshil Bay. Is it Shilshil? Yeah, I think it's, it's beautiful. So we tend to go out there.
And, perfect day for it.
Yeah.
It should be beautiful. Yeah. So that's kind of our thing. So
all
that's
right.
What,
all right.
Well,
simple. Wishing you a happy birthday. Ooh. Thank you for telling us,
thank
Christina.
You very much.
Yes, Christina.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right. You have a great day, sweetie.
Aw.
You too.
Right. Wonderful. Well, we do have Dr. Dan Nelson in the studio. He may not call you sweetie. That was his daughter, so that was okay. He doesn't call us sweetie. And we're going to go to Dale in Olympia now. I don't think he'll call you sweetie either. But
hopefully not.
Hi there, Dale. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Happy Saturday.
Yes.
And same to you, Dale. How can we help?
So... I'm 60 years old, and back when I was in my early 20s, about 22, 23, I had orthoscopic surgery done on my right knee. And I don't know if they took cartilage out or meniscus or what it was, but I've been doing really good with that up until about 10, 15 years ago. And now when I do my walks in the morning, which is about a 2-mile walk, averaging 4 miles an hour, on the right side of my, it's my right leg, the right side of my kneecap, just below the kneecap where that soft bump is, it feels like it's bulging there. You can't see anything, but it's really getting in the way of my walk. So it's almost like I'm, as my leg is opening to straighten out, it's like I'm pinching something in there. Back when I had my first knee problem, I was pinching the cartilage or something like that. I couldn't straighten my leg out.
Right.
And
Dale, it's right. It's usually does it physically bulge out a little bit, or just feel like that?
You can't see anything. It just feels like it.
So it could be you could be getting a little subpatellar bursitis right in that area. That bursitis just means swelling of you have this thing called bursal sacs throughout your body where the joints are. And they're normally kind of flat sacs, and they help lubricate certain critical like areas of the joints. But they can become inflamed, and they can kind of swell up with fluid. Sometimes we call that an effusion. Sometimes it can be a small one, but it can definitely be uncomfortable. And it's just, unfortunately, it's just an aspect of arthritis. The term arthritis just means inflammation of a joint. In most cases, with people with arthritis, it's chronic inflammation. Osteoarthritis, that's the most common garden variety of form of arthritis. So you probably have a little bit of that going on. When you had your arthroscopic surgery, they took out some, they cleaned it up, took out some, sorry?
Yeah, oh, and I was just going to say that they did that on the inside of my knee.
On the inside. So
not
you
the same side I'm having trouble with.
Right. So you probably had a partial medial meniscectomy where that took out part of the meniscus on the inside.
Yes.
That's all good. But then, you know, ultimately removing cartilage just means that down the road you have less cartilage, right? So,
right.
It probably, you know, the concern would be, does that actually contribute to arthritis down the road? I mean, that's a legitimate, fair question.
Yeah.
And, I don't really have joint pain.
Right.
You know, it's just like soft tissue pain that's balling up.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I am limping pretty good. I can't straighten my leg out comfortably.
So
it feels like it's, you know, definitely pinching something.
So it's more functional rather than pain, sounds like, is what you're telling
me. Right. Well, it's painful at night because when I'm, you know, straighten my leg out to walk on it, you know, I have that pinch going on.
Right.
And in the back of my knee, in that crease, that feels like it's getting real stiff as well.
Mm-hmm.
Something's swelling up there, but there's no visible swelling going on.
Right.
Dan, what about the patellar tendon?
Everything's stiffening up.
Could be a patellar tendonitis for sure. I'm concerned that there might be more than that going on. Usually that's kind of, you know, transient and usually gets better. You know, so physical therapy, we try those things.
One more thing is... back in probably 5 years after I had the knee surgery, I broke my ankle, and when they reattached it, they reattached it crooked. So in essence, I'm walking on the outside edge of my foot. And that gave me trouble in my knee on the inside portion of my knee until I got some inserts in my shoes and started wearing good shoes to where I'm walking flat, and that pain went away. On occasion, that flares up, but that just tells me I need new shoes.
Right, yeah.
That's my sign.
Yeah.
And
Bottom line is, that worked out real good. Yeah. Bottom line is, Robert, we don't really know what that problem is on the lateral aspect of your knee. Could be just a little inflammation, a little bursitis. We'd have to see. If you came into the office, we'd have to take x-rays. I'd probably do a bedside ultrasound. Might even have to get an MRI at some point. If it's just soft tissue related.
And this is something you guys do in your office?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do all that. We can, can't always get the MRI on the same day because usually we have to put an order and get insurance authorization for the MRI. But we can do the ultrasound and the x-rays right there on the first visit, which is kind of nice to get all that done.
Definitely nice,
And then, you know, you usually get a pretty good idea. I mean, there's multiple things that could be causing what you're describing. So we would just have to, and sometimes I do. I call one of my colleagues upstairs, you know, Dr. Jamie Antoine or one of the other sports-related guys, knee guys, and say, hey, would you take a look at this situation? Because I have the advantage of having those guys pretty much almost at arm's length where I can do that curbside consult.
I know,
right.
I love
that.
So we get it figured out one way or the other pretty quickly.
And could you, in the name of your office again, so I could write it down and give you a call on Monday?
Yeah, that would be Pro Ortho. Yeah, did you get that, Dale? It's Pro Ortho. And the phone number is 425-823-4000.
Okay.
Four two five eight two three four thousand for Dr. Dan Nelson and his time.
If I can just make a little comment, my office is kind of like a subdivision of Pro Ortho, but the name is not as easy. It's called Pro Alliance Eastside Pain and Regenerative Medicine. So I tried to bring that on the radio, and that got shot down. They said, no, that's not working.
You said Pro Ortho,
You're going to stick with Pro Ortho. Forget that. So if there's any confusion there, just ask for Dr.
The
Dan.
That's right.
Yeah, they know. They know me well.
Dr. Dan Nelson, much easier to remember, too.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Dale, for your call.
Thank you very much.
We'll take a quick break, and then we will be back with another caller.
It's funny, Dan.
We have Chris next. Stay right there, and if you have a question, 800-465-8770. We'll be right back.
The thing that struck both of us most strongly right from the beginning was libido. Our sex drive went out the roof. it was like being 18 years old again. It was pretty wonderful. And it was something we had been missing for quite some time.
It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umat, Dr. Dan Nelson, our special guest here today from Pro Ortho. And we have Chris on the line. Chris calling from Kent. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
How can we help you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. I have a relative that was diagnosed with endometriosis 8 years ago. She's years old. And lately the pain has become pretty intense, and she's trying to corral two young kids. So she made an appointment with her gynecologist to discuss it, but was referred to the nurse practitioner, whom she saw just recently, and came out of it really without anything to do other than all of the kind of natural things she's trying, supplements, yoga, that type of thing. And the nurse practitioner indicated, because in our family we tend to go into early menopause, just said maybe it's because her hormones are changing, that it's acting up now. But it's become a real issue because it's very painful, and we kind of don't know what the next step is, where to go. I don't know if this is something that longevity addresses in somebody so young. So do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, great question, Chris. I missed the age of your relative. How old is your relative?
38, and she was diagnosed with it when she was 30. She was going through IVF at the time, and that's how they discovered it.
Okay, and she does have children?
Adopted children.
Okay.
She was not able to conceive.
She was not able to. Infertility is not uncommon. So for the benefit of the radio show listeners, endometriosis is just the endometrial, the uterine tissue that is growing outside of the uterus. And unfortunately, what happens is when the monthly cycles happen, these tissues that are in the pelvis usually, but can be outside of the pelvis, so it's surrounding the fallopian tubes or the ovaries, also undergo the cyclical changes and tend to bleed, but there's no exit to that blood loss, and sometimes they just cause a lot of pain. And so they are very painful, and they happen on a monthly basis. And what happens is you can have issues like infertility because of endometriosis, but the big underlying thing is that it's really, really painful. So, Chris, unfortunately, it's a difficult problem. I am sorry that your relative's going through that. Most of the time, once the diagnosis is made, they do try to put them on some kind of a hormone replacement therapy program, usually estrogens or combination with progestin. So I'm surprised that they haven't given her that, because she's, you know, she's not looking for a pregnancy right now.
Right. Excuse me, she did go on birth control for a while to try to control it, but it kicked up anxiety, so she wasn't to make a choice between feeling anxious or taking the birth control. So she has stopped that.
Okay, so they didn't choose the right birth control pill. That's a tough one. I have not treated this in a long time. Sometimes they use some aromatase inhibitors to lower the amount of estrogen also. It's not really going to cure it. I have had a lot of people use non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications during the painful episodes, and that just kind of minimizes the pain. And then the nurse practitioner is not wrong in saying that as she heads towards menopause, the symptoms will decrease.
Oh, she said the pain is increasing because she might be going into early menopause. But they didn't do any testing.
Oh, that's interesting. That's not usually the case. Usually with time, as the hormone levels decline and the menstruation decreases, the pain actually will decrease. Yeah. Has your relative used any non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications for the pain? Do they work for her?
Like Advil or Aleve?
Advil, yeah. Advil or Aleve.
That type of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has, and in the past it would take a bit of the edge off. It's been, I would say, in the last, like, 6 months maybe, that the pain is more intense and it's lasting longer, like 2 weeks. It's just been a recent change. But I think she probably needs to have some imaging done to make sure that the endometriosis issue or...
Interesting. So I assumed that they had done a pelvic ultrasound to come to the diagnosis. You're saying that they haven't done anything?
Not since she, 8 years ago, was going through IVF.
Oh, interesting. I would definitely have her see somebody else because I do agree with you. She does need another reevaluation. She should have somebody at least do a pelvic ultrasound to see what's going on. Are the lesions increasing or not? But typically they do decrease over time. It's unusual that the lesions are increasing, causing her more pain as she's getting older.
That was my understanding too. Yeah. That they would... Those symptoms would kind of diminish as you approach menopause.
Over time, I would definitely have somebody else take another look, do some investigations, and look at the pelvic ultrasound for sure. And then based on what they find, they actually do try to put these women into menopause early so that they stop cycling, so that they stop hurting. That's the typical therapy, you know, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications, maybe some cyclical birth control or hormone replacement therapy to see if they can control the symptoms. And then if not, then progestins to put them into early menopause naturally so that they stop cycling and it stops hurting.
I see. Okay. And would she go to a gynecologist to request the pelvic ultrasound? Is that the doctor?
And if you were not satisfied with your OBGYN, I would say go to somebody else. I would say try somebody else, look at another OBGYN, you know, let them know the history and that the pain is getting worse and that you haven't had any investigations in 8 years.
Okay. That sounds
great.
That's
a long time.
It might be something else going on, right? And you don't know until you look. So you really have to look at this time.
Okay. Besides gynecologists, are there specific types of doctors that deal with endometriosis?
You know, primary care providers can order the investigations. They can do some that do pelvic exams are very good because you know them and you can get in faster, and they can do the investigations for you. So if you have a good relationship with a primary care provider, they can also order the investigations, and it might be better to kind of have the investigations done and then go to a consult and say, hey, this is what we found, or we didn't find anything and it's still painful. What would you recommend now?
You know, wonderful. Thank you so much for your time.
If I can just insert something there real quick, there are specialists like urogynecologists, and I'm just blanking on the one I know from Evergreen Hospital, that there are people, if you want to give, well, my office.
Actually, even the fertility clinics.
The fertility clinics themselves do a fair amount. They have, if they can't do it, they know people that do. But there are kind of women's clinics that do just kind of like they do pelvic floor issues and all that, but I'm sure they could have some insight for this kind of situation. Yeah.
Great. Dr. Nelson, you said at Evergreen it was what gynecologist? I didn't catch
that. Urogynecologist. If you want to call my office on Monday or Tuesday, her name is escaping me right now. I've known her for 20, 30 years.
Actually, there's a urogynecologist in Overlake as well. If you live in this Bellevue area.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, Chris.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Okay, bye. Yeah.
Well, the time just flew. We have like less than a minute left of our show today. And we want to thank Dr. Dan Nelson for coming in. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Nelson.
Thank you for having me. It's been just delightful all the way around.
Always a pleasure to have you.
Always. Love
and you're
that.
Not a pain at all.
Never. No.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm hoping that opinion's universal, but
very good.
We'll see.
Of course, the show being brought to you today by Longevity Medical Clinic. We're still offering that free health analysis appointment. Two ways to get through to get that scheduled to be on your way to better health. That's 1-866-86-YOUNG, or you can go online to lmclinic.com. You have a great rest of your weekend. Stay cool, stay hydrated, use that sunscreen. On behalf of Dr. Nelson and Dr. Umat, I'm Lynette. Have a great weekend.